Oh, let's go to Rob's book quiz. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jesse.
A new Wednesday instalment. Huge success last week, so it's back for week two.
Yeah, it's so good to be able to write your own reviews.
Hey, so this is a weekly quiz. You challenge people to answer these in their heads. Don't text the answers in. But maybe let us know afterwards how well you did. So you get the quiz just before 2 p.m. and then you get the answers in the weather. And the books are loosely based on books because that's Rob's specialty. Over to you, Rob.
So today I'm taking inspiration from the news, and fans of J.K. Rowling may have seen this morning she's announced that she's publishing a new children's book.
Yeah.
It's called The Ichabog. And my first question is, for those of you who have been following the news today, is how is it going to be published? So how is J.K. Rowling going to publish her next children's book?
This is one of those questions where I have no idea. However, there's only a couple of possible answers to that one, and so I've kind of got a hunch of what you might be getting at here. For new listeners to the quiz, Rob tends to start easier and get harder. Great.
My next question is, I'm basing all of these around children's books because of J.K. Rowling's announcement, and because as a bookseller, it was always interesting to see how over generations these books would just keep coming up again and again and again. So I thought everyone could play today.
Thank you.
At the end of Where the Wild Things Are, what does Max find in his room?
Great question. Have you read the Dave Eggers version of Where the Wild Things Are?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Yeah, my 9-year-old read that over summer because it was in our, beach house bookcase. And she loved it. I think she even read it before the picture book.
Cool. So is it a literary kind of reimagining?
It's an adaptation of the screenplay which Eggers wrote for the Wild Things Are movie.
Sounds great.
I know you're always watching the clock, Rob. I know I don't have to hurry you up.
Which children's author left their royalties from one of their biggest novels to a children's hospital?
Okay. I think you're the only guest I ever have on the show who takes those pips so seriously.
By my count, we've still got a couple of minutes.
I know. I don't mean to obsess over it, but I just meant to pay you that compliment.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things of being a producer and then going into the room. I mean, your priorities are the other way around.
Yeah, you'd think so, but plenty of people don't care. They just leave it up to me, but I am really proud of you and the respect you show for the top of the hour.
Well, if you can't respect the top of the hour, what can you respect? Mm. In which country was Judith Kerr born?
Do you know if RNZ policy is to talk over the first few pips, or were you meant to be completely clear before that first pip?
Are we having this conversation on air?
We are, yeah.
I've heard differing views on that. Okay. My personal taste is I like a light crash.
Who's Judith Kerr? Was she Tiger Who Came to Tea?
Yeah, so Judith Kerr wrote Tiger Who Came to Tea. For my money, her best work was the Mog books.
Oh, yeah. Same person.
Yeah, yeah. She was a brilliant author. And she died recently and really worked right up into her death and was a very strong political force, partly because of the country that she came from.
Okay.
And my final question for you is, in which decade was Goodnight Moon published?
Yeah. Now, stone cold classic, this one, Goodnight Moon.
Yep.
Although some people have never heard of it. I don't know if it's a Kiwi classic as much as some of those other ones like Peepo or Each Peach Pear Plum Are.
Yeah, it didn't hit here the way that it's hit in other parts of the world, but it's sold kind of tens of millions of copies and continues to do so. And the author is a really interesting woman, Margaret Wise Brown. She died in the 1950s, but her legacy's kind of lived on right through the 20th and 21st centuries. And she left the proceeds of the book to various people, including the child of her neighbours, who later claimed that he was her son, although that hasn't been proved.
So I have to look that one up. There's also an interesting article about what makes that book so great, and it's The Unexpected Choices. Thanks, Rob. We'll come back after the 2 p.m. news with some answers. Let's go to Rob now. Rob Kelly, standing by with the answers to Rob Book's Quiz. Hello, Rob's Book Quiz.
Hello.
Yeah. Over to you, Rob.
Okay. So our first question was, how is J.K. Rowling's new children's book being published? And it's going to be in the School of Dickens. It's going to be serialized.
Huh.
So it's
I just thought you were going to say it was going to be an e-book. that I could download, but it's much more interesting.
Yeah, so it's going to be online. It's going to be released in 32 pieces.
Hey, Rob, I have to interrupt you for a second.
Yep.
I've just got news through that police have tweeted that they found the missing trampers alive.
Wow.
Dion Reynolds and Jessica O'Connor, and people have been quite interested in the story over the last couple of weeks. They have been gone for a long time, and people have been really worried about them, so I wanted to let everyone know as soon as we got the news that those missing trampers, Dion and Jessica, have been found alive, according to a police tweet. Thanks. Great news. Rob, back to you.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Our next question was, at the end of Where the Wild Things Are, what does Max find in his room? And what he finds... Oh, yeah? Do you want to have a go?
Nah.
He finds a hot
toy.
Supper.
Oh.
He finds
That's
a hot
right.
meal waiting for him.
Because he had been away for what felt like months, and the hot supper suggests that it had just been the blink of an eye back in real time.
Yeah. It's a really lovely way to dovetail the book. I've always really liked it as an image.
Great device, yes.
Third question. Which children's author left their royalties to a children's hospital? It was J.M. Barrie.
Uh-huh, Peter Pan.
Yep.
Did you know, Rob, you'll know this, that the name Wendy didn't even exist before Peter Pan?
I didn't know that. That's fantastic.
J.M. Barrie invented the name Wendy.
That's very cool. I like that a lot. It's a good name, Wendy.
Tinkerbell is a hard character to enjoy, I've got to say.
You don't care for Tinkerbell?
I've been reading, and I think you'll probably disapprove of this as a reformed bookseller, but we've been reading an abridged version of Peter Pan for the children. And unless Tinkerbell is a bit nicer in the unabridged version, she seems like a real piece of work.
Yeah, I mean, any work that's kind of full of allegory like that, all the characters end up representing things to the author.
Oh, really?
So kind of Tinkerbell is that part of your personality that just wants to play.
Uh-huh.
So while we might not love that urge, it's part of who we are as well. I've always been quite sympathetic to Tinkerbell because she gets left behind. But I don't want to spoil Peter Pan.
Yeah, we're only halfway through. That's great.
I'm also not at all worried about abridging. I think abridging is a good thing.
Really?
Yeah. It comes back to my kind of central belief that people should enjoy things the way they want to enjoy them.
Yeah, I bet you like that dryish July idea as well.
Well, yeah, I think I think maybe I'm just anti-rule. Yeah. I don't like people putting rules on how people enjoy things.
Yeah.
So abridging is an interesting one for me. I grew up with audiobooks of the Terry Pratchett novels that were read by Tony Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the abridged versions, but I didn't know that. So as an adult, I've gone back to the unabridged books and audiobooks of Terry Pratchett's novels, and there's a whole other layer there for me to enjoy as an adult. But I don't know if I would have got through them as a child. So I wonder if that abridging is actually literally a bridge, a gateway drug.
Great, love it.
Judith Kerr was born in Berlin and had to leave fairly quickly as a child with her family because they were Jewish.
Huh.
So she was a refugee to the UK, where she became a naturalised citizen. And a lot of her work is overtly and covertly political.
Really?
And there is
someone told me once that someone once gave me a sort of a feminist read on The Tiger Who Came to Tea about the dreariness of life at home for women in the 50s or whenever it was.
Yep, there are a lot of very strong readings of The Tiger Who Came to Tea. One of the other readings is that it's literally a home inspection, so that the tiger is coming to inspect the house to make sure that there aren't any Jews in it.
Wow.
However, Judith Kerr, when asked about this later in her life, said to both of those theories that The Tiger Who Came to Tea is a story about a tiger who came to tea.
Yeah.
And so she kind of rejected those readings, but that doesn't mean that that's not all in there somewhere. And the Mogg books have elements of that too, but that's time for another thesis.
Oh, yeah.
In which decade was Goodnight Moon published? It was published in the 1940s.
Huh.
But remains a top 10 bestseller around the world today.
And can you feel the war in that book? Don't know.
Not in the same way, I don't think. But every children's book is a product of its time.
Yeah.
And a lot of those books from the 40s, 50s and 60s have elements of that. The Roald Dahl books particularly You can certainly, in the physical descriptions of things that happen in those books, you can tell that Roald Dahl served in a war zone. But yeah, there's always that politics. It's just whether or not how much it's woven into the plot and how much of that is intentional. But Goodnight Moon is clearly one of those stories that is simple enough to just resonate across generations and be passed down.
Goodnight noises everywhere.
Mm. Good night, Jesse.
Good night, Rob.
Bye.
See you next week, you lazy slob.
See ya.
Sorry, it was all that rhymed.